Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. That's right. It's Monday morning, which means it's time for Oh Snap with Brett Goode joining us here on the show this morning. We're recapping a victory over the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday. Brett, congratulations on the win yesterday against the Cardinals. What did it take to get a victory?
I appreciate it. We needed that one before going into the bye. It just makes the bye week so much more enjoyable. So you don't really have to think about a loss. You get to enjoy the win kind of all week before you come back and get ready for a nice run to head into the playoffs. But I think that took an overall team effort. You know, I think that the offense played well at times, and then they struggled at times. I think the defense did the same. And then, you know, I feel like special teams, I felt like we played probably the most consistent throughout the game. I think especially with being able to control Peterson, being a dynamic returner and only limiting him to, a few yards on the returns was huge for us.
After yesterday's win, the Packers are now 6-3 on the season. And after trading wins and losses the first couple weeks of the year, you're now on a 4-game winning streak. Can you assess the way the season kind of as a whole has gone for you?
It's just been an up and down year, but, we found ways to win. Obviously, we would have liked to win those three that we lost, but those are in the past, and we're moving forward. You know, we're on a 4-game winning streak, and we still got to get better. It's all about peaking at the right time, and hopefully we can come back from this bye week and get on a good run and head into the playoffs, on a high note.
Finally, you're at the bye week, and the Packers, of course, have several injuries they're dealing with. Just how badly does this team need the bye?
I think just like everybody, we're struggling like everybody else with injuries, and the bye week's come at a perfect time. Hopefully we can get some guys coming back, and, our young guys have stepped up, though, during this 4-game winning streak, and that's been huge for us, and those guys are playing well, and so that's all you can ask for guys that haven't played a whole lot that are taking over starting jobs from guys that are hurt. And so hopefully we can get the guys that are hurt back. And once we get them back, we'll be able to get this thing rolling even more.
We're joined by Packers long snapper Brett Goode here at Railbird Central this morning at Cheesehead TV. Brett, I've seen a lot of comparisons of this team to the one in 2010 during the Super Bowl season because it also suffered so many injuries as well. But a major difference that I see from 2010 is that team lost a lot of guys for the whole season, whereas this year, I think a lot of these guys are expected to come back. Does that give you some confidence knowing a lot of these guys who were injured are going to come back later in the year?
That definitely helps out. I think it's when you lose a guy for a year, that's just, it's really hard to replace him. And when a guy's only going to be out for a week or two, you can get somebody to kind of fill in and get somebody some more playing time, which you want to have a bunch more experience out there with guys. And so that allows the younger guys to kind of get some playing time and get ready to go because, we're going to need everybody on the team, practice squad included, to have a good run, to finish out the season and have a good run in the playoffs.
Brett, I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge your first tackle of the season on the dangerous Patrick Peterson. He's one of the better ones in the business, isn't he?
No disrespect to Hester, but I would give him as the number one punt returner in the league. He doesn't fair catch the ball. He had a couple problems with ball security yesterday, which is a shocker. He usually doesn't have that. We hadn't seen that on film. It worked out for us well, but he's definitely a dynamic returner. I'd give him being the best in the league. He's like Devin was, in his prime, and Devin is still, number two. I'm just glad we don't have to play Peterson twice a year.
I've always wondered, Brett, is there ever a chance the Packers would use you somewhere else other than long snapper? Not like offense or defense, but on special teams, on like a kick return or a punt return? Is that ever a possibility?
I think obviously with injuries during a game, I'm always ready to go at any position on special teams just because I'm in all the meetings. I kind of know what's going on. I think that they would want to refrain. I mean, that would be an absolute emergency situation, just like if I had to go in for the offensive line. We'd have a lot of guys go down, and I don't want that to happen because – I don't want any injuries on the team, so hopefully we don't have to get to that point.
Well, I'm glad you're ready at a moment's notice. So do you have any plans for the bye week?
I'm going to head back to Arkansas and just get some rest and relaxation down there and just kind of recoup and get ready to come back for a strong run.
Hey, you know what? We talked about Arkansas, the college football team there a couple weeks ago when they were on a four-game losing streak. And since that time, they've won three out of their last four. Are you impressed with the way they've turned things around there?
I am. You know, it shows a lot of character for the team to be able to turn everything around, and hopefully they can keep moving. You know, they're not playing as high as they probably would hope to have played throughout the year, but they're getting better, and, you know, it just shows the leadership of the seniors down there, and hopefully they can continue this run and make a decent bowl game and finish this thing off strong.
Well, congratulations yesterday on the win. Have a good time during the break. We'll talk to you when you come back from the bye after the Lions game.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one.
Thank you. Thank you to Brett Good for joining us this morning here on Railbird Central at CheeseheadTV.com. Joining us to talk about a Packers win yesterday. Glad to have him on the show. Glad to have you joining us, listening here this morning. Fantastic to have all of you checking in after a Packers victory yesterday on Sunday against an NFC opponent in the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals, man, they were so hot early in the season. Remember when all the attention was on them? They started off the year 4-0. Now they're on a five-game losing streak. Amazing how things can turn around. And, you know, the Packers themselves now on a four-game winning streak. So, you know, it's amazing how fortunes can turn around, both good and bad. And I'm sure Packers fans listening to the show this morning are glad we're talking about the team on a four-game winning streak instead of a team on a five-game losing streak. Well, we're talking about them too, but we're not really too concerned about what they do, right? Anyhow, let's talk about this game yesterday. The Packers, you know, winning against the Cardinals, it wasn't always pretty. You kind of wish the Packers would put them away, just drive the nail in the coffin, you know, kind of they're up, what, 21-7 at halftime, and that's all looking good. But then the third quarter comes, and the Packers had one heck of a time in that third quarter. You thought, oh my goodness, the Cardinals are getting back into this game. And then the game turned around with one play, and I can't go any longer without mentioning the last play of the third quarter. Tom Crabtree, friend of Railbird Central, who actually had Brett Good's spot on the show a year ago when Tom was our weekly Monday morning interview guest, and love him for it, for joining us, and still cheering for him now. He has the Packers' longest offensive play of the season. In fact, is it the longest play total? I know Randall Cobb had a long punt return there, but I don't think that was over 72 yards like Tom Crabtree had yesterday. Hauls in a 72-yard pass just at the moment the Cardinals had pulled within 7 points. They pulled within one score of the Packers late in that third quarter. They got a field goal. And you know, as soon as the Packers get the ball back, they got 72 yards from Tom Crabtree. Just an amazing play call, I thought. Tom Crabtree, of course, setting up in the backfield as a fullback on that play, actually hesitates to make sure there's no oncoming pass rushers. And once he does, he releases, runs by the inside linebacker, hauls in that pass from Aaron Rodgers. And it was funny because, you know, he kept looking over his shoulder just an absolute bunch of times to see if anybody was getting close. They were getting close to him at the at the goal line. But Tom Crabtree gets into the end zone and really, you know, made a one score game, a two score game, and helped the Packers on their way to a victory. Of course, if you followed along with the game, you probably saw the reports like I did. That was the Packers' longest play by a Packers tight end since 1979. I think Paul Kaufman had the longest play previously, you know, way back when. That was the year I was born, giving away how old I am here on the show. But, I mean, wow. I mean, we're talking 33 years ago. You know, that's quite an accomplishment for Mr. Crabtree. But, I mean, and of course, the news is, too, that was his birthday yesterday, so quite the birthday present. But Tom, being the consummate professional that he is, of course, in his post-game interviews, just saying he's glad it contributed to a win, and Packers fans couldn't be happier. It contributed to a win in a big way, and it was a big play, and was, you know, really the play of the game, I think, right? I mean, there was no bigger play than that. I mean, obviously from a yardage standpoint, but just the excitement standpoint, the way it stemmed the tide, you know, the Cardinals were finally starting to get some momentum there, but Tom Crabtree and the Packers roaring back. And so that's big news, big day for the Packers and Tom Crabtree. So congratulations to him. But, you know, apart from that play, I would say the player of the game was wide receiver, and I can't just call him a wide receiver. What should we call him? The jack of all trades, Randall Cobb. I mean, he was the MVP of the day yesterday. He only had 3 receptions, so he doesn't have that many. But boy, he made him count, didn't he? Randall Cobb having going for 2 touchdowns out of his 3 total catches yesterday. And they came in spectacular fashion. The first one, it was the Packers' first touchdown of the game, right? He put him up 7-0 in the first quarter. He had grabbed a quick little, I believe you call that a smoke screen from Aaron Rodgers, and from 13 yards out, and he put a spin move on a Cardinals defender that was just absolutely fantastic. And it wasn't one of those spin moves where you get hit and spin. Cobb could anticipate that, you know, the defender was closing in on him and kind of spinned before contact was even made. I thought that was what was impressive about that play. And, you know, got into the end zone, put the Packers up 7-0. I mean, heck, that you could consider that the difference of the game, because the Packers took the lead there and never trailed. They led for the whole game at that point onward. So got a little dicey there toward the end of the third quarter, but they hold on to the lead, put up from Randall Cobb right away. And you know, it's he scores later in the second quarter as well. Actually, put up the touchdown that made the lead 21-7. And that was a 28-yarder from Aaron Rodgers. And Cobb had caught that kind of on the right sideline of the end zone with outstretched arms. And just, you know, it was absolutely fantastic. So Jamie's telling me that was the touchdown that made it 14-7. Pardon me. Yes, that's correct. Randall Cobb made it 14-7 in the second quarter, and it was James Jones that made it 21-7. But yes, anyhow, you know, Randall Cobb, and you know, his production doesn't end there. You know, I'm just talking about what he did as a receiver so far. But I mean, look at the whole body of work from Randall Cobb on Sunday. He has 3 carries as well from his running back position in the backfield. And the Packers used him just perfectly yesterday. I love to see that. He got 3 carries. I think he should get that almost every game. That's just about how often he should touch the ball as a running back, how often he should line up in the backfield next to Aaron Rodgers. So they're, you know, they're working him inside, they're working him outside. And what is he at? I think he had 29 yards rushing yesterday. So on three carries, so almost 10 yards a carry. What is it? 9.7 yards per carry yesterday. You know, that's absolutely fantastic. And you know what? Randall Cobbie's averaging like 15 yards a carry on the year or something. Not that he has a whole lot. He only has like six carries on the year, but every time they give him a carry, he's just making people miss and just, you know, doing his work in the open field. And on top of that, of course, he, you know, nothing fantastic great yesterday. He didn't take any returns to the house, but doing a solid job on both kicks and punt returns. Of course, you know, doing a good job with ball security. And, you know, he did have, what, one long kick return there where he got the ball out to the 50. And he did have one 30-yard punt return approximately to set up the Packers, you know, what, like in the red zone, I think, or was it just outside the red zone? But anyway, yeah, so Randall Cobbie yesterday, I think the all-purpose yardage was over 200 yards yesterday. All-purpose yardage over 200 yards. Just a jack of all trades, getting the job done. He was the MVP of the game for my money. And actually, you know, the guy who we usually talk about being the MVP, Aaron Rodgers, kind of has a, you know, a somewhat down day yesterday. You know, for he had a completion percentage of less than 50%. Can you believe that? How often does that happen with Aaron Rodgers? Not very often. A completion percentage less than 50%. And, you know, but he's picked up by his teammates. The offensive line did a good job protecting him outside of like the first series or two of the game. And that's especially impressive considering, you know, Brian Bulaga came out and the shuffling they had to do on the offensive line, and more on that in a moment. But yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, what, you know, three touchdown passes yesterday, one interception, and, you know, the Packers could live with that. You know, certainly it wasn't a pretty day, but, you know, they get the victory and they won it with other phases of the game, you know, other than the passing attack, which, you know, was passable. They got, you know, production in the ground game yesterday on offense that was, you know, as good as it gets under Mike McCarthy. And they got it from a platoon of players, which was good to see. Both Alex Green and James Starks kind of shared the load yesterday for the Packers. And, you know, they had over 170 rushing yards on the game. And nobody had more than, like, what was it? It's, you know, 70 yards, I think, was the near the top of the line. Was it even that, in fact? I do have the box score in front of me here. I guess I can check this out. Yeah, James Starks has 61 yards. Alex Green has 53. James Starks did on 17 carries, Alex Green on 11. So, you know, basically sharing the load there, even though Starks got a few more. And, you know, James Starks wasn't perfect yesterday. He, of course, had the fumble that luckily didn't cost the Packers. Aaron Rodgers going and diving in there and cradling that ball. And, you know, it's a good thing he did, because if the Packers lost that fumble, that would have not have been a good thing. That would have been their second turnover of the game yesterday. And, you know, of course, as you know, when any team turns the ball over two or more times a game, the chances of you winning, not all that good. But, but with James Starks, though, he is trending in the right direction. After, you know, having such a rough, basically an entire career, with the exception of a stretch of like six games in 2010, James Starks has been beset by injuries most of his career. You know, didn't even play, what, the first six games of the year this year? And now, just lately, well, it wasn't six, what was it, four, I don't know. But anyway, he misses the first month plus of the season. And now, you know, starting to get back into the groove, starting to become Pack more of the offense. You know, he's spelling Alex Green a little bit. And if the Packers, you know, as John says on the live blog here, forming a good 1-2 punch, you know, the Packers can live with that. That's, you know, they go an average, what, 5 yards a carry. But even that's kind of deceiving when, you know, Aaron Rodgers has a couple kneel downs at the end of the game to, you know, look at the yards per carry isn't exactly accurate of how they performed. But, yeah, I mean, Alex Green, James Starks, getting the job done, going to be boosted by Cedric Benson later in the year, hopefully, if he returns from his Lisfranc injury. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb adding to the rushing attack as well. Aaron Rodgers having a nice couple scrambles, especially early in the game, getting a couple first downs. Randall Cobb, of course, we already talked about him. Getting the job done when he lines up in the backfield. And I alluded to it before, especially impressive considering what happened on the offensive line yesterday. You know, Brian Bulaga goes out, and the Packers having to do some shuffling on the offensive line. TJ Lang kicks out to right tackle. And I think TJ Lang was one of the underrated performances yesterday, considering he hardly practices at all at tackle, you know, to kick out there and just hold down the fort. You know, the Packers offense played better with TJ Lang in there, I think, than Brian Bulaga. Not to say that I think that's going to hold long term, but I mean, they didn't give up any sacks after that move. The ground game was working for the Packers. They did a good job. And Evan Dietrich Smith, of course, good job to him too, coming in at left guard and replacing TJ Lang, who had to kick out to tackle. So kudos there to the offensive line, and especially the guys who had to, come in after Bulaga had to exit the game. And of course, I mean, we got to talk about the injuries here too. I mean, three new, in fact, more than three, actually. But what was it? Four injuries yesterday? John asked on the live blog, any news on Bulaga? No, I mean, I don't think there's any news on any of the injured players as far as the severity of their injury, their status, or anything like that. Mike McCarthy will have a press conference later this afternoon. You know, what's it come at about 3 p.m. or so? So kind of have to wait till that time to get an update. And I'm not even sure Mike McCarthy's going to have a whole lot of information on those injuries then. Maybe we will see. But so Jordy Nelson, Clay Matthews, Brian Bulaga, and all of them exit the game yesterday, all of them starters and cannot return. And actually add DJ Williams to the list as well. Ted the Sledge asking who's the fourth injured player. I mean, not a starter with DJ Williams, but he apparently had a hamstring injury where he could not return to the game as well. Kind of a lingering issue for him. He's dealt with hamstring injuries on and off this year. Everybody on the team needs this bye week. For Nelson, Bulaga, Matthews, all those guys left the field under their own power, which, you know, is a good sign, I guess, in terms that I don't think any of those injuries are season ending. So that's good. The Packers just needing a bye week like nobody's business. All these injured players getting an extra week to recover here, get back, and a lot of big names here, a lot of Pro Bowlers. I mean, add up the number of times these guys have been named to the Pro Bowl. Greg Jennings, Charles Woodson, John Kuhn. Those guys who, those three all missing yesterday's game, and they're not the only ones, Nick Perry, Sam Shields, you name it. I mean, guys missing the game, missing multiple games, the whole team just, obviously, these are professional football players. Even if you're not on the injury list, you're practically injured just because of the profession they're in, you know, big 300-pound bodies slamming into each other all day long on Sunday. So the Packers need this bye week to get healthy, and hopefully they come back re-energized from the bye week. They get the return of some of these players. You know, it's not all going to be right away. You know, as soon as the Packers come back from the bye week against Detroit in a couple weeks here, you know, Charles Woodson isn't going to be back in the lineup yet. Greg Jennings isn't going to be back in the lineup yet. Neither is Cedric Benson. But they're going to get these guys, hopefully, maybe around December time. You know, come back for the stretch run, the playoff push. Perfect timing, right? And hopefully these guys will be energized to, you know, push the Packers on to a playoff run, hopefully a Super Bowl run. We'll worry about that when the time comes. But, you know, yeah, perfect timing as far as, you know, the Packers go here. One of the latest bye weeks in the league, by the way. I mean, there can't be too many teams with a bye left. They might have the latest bye week in the NFL here at week, you know, they just finished week 9. Now it's week 10 coming up here when they'll have their bye. That's late in the season, but, you know, not necessarily a bad thing, I don't think. You know, they get a little bit re-energized, I think, and come back. And I think coming into the bye week on a 4-game winning streak, that keeps everybody enthused. That keeps them wanting to play football rather than looking forward to the bye and looking forward to a week off. They're excited now. They're excited. They're playing well. They're going to want to keep playing football. So that's a really good thing. And so when they get back, they'll be excited to kick the Detroit Lions' butt. And you know, what's great, I think, is the Packers are going to be motivated the rest of the year with the Chicago Bears sitting at, what are they, 7-1? You know, the Packers are going to be motivated to win the division title, and it's going to take them the whole rest of the season to make up that 2-game lead the Bears have. Now, obviously, they face the Bears in one game, and they can make up one game right there. But, you know, other than that, they're going to have to hope the Bears lose, and even if they do pull even, you know, they got to keep winning out the rest of the season. So that's just going to be a little carrot dangling in front of the Packers the whole rest of the year as they get to, you know, again, the playoff push. And Kevin Lamb points out on the live blog here, the Bears play Houston and San Francisco the next 2 games. Wow, that is a tough. Those are some good games. I'll be excited to watch those. Bears, of course, have a great defense. Man, they get the job done. Peanut Tillman doing a good job there. Brian Urlacher. The Bears are good. I don't know if they're as good as the Packers. And it will be exciting when the Bears play the Packers. Packers, of course, having to go on the road to Chicago. Not for a couple weeks yet. They got to give it by the Lions and the Giants first here. Got a couple games against the Vikings there, too. And, of course, the Vikings, you know, with a winning record this year. Nobody saw that coming, but they've played well. So, you know, it'll be fun from here on out. And, you know, going back to the game here, I haven't even touched on the defensive side of the football hardly today. But, I mean, the Packers defense not playing great yesterday. In fact, John Skelton has, what, over 300 yards passing? But, of course, you know, as usual, they're playing catch-up the whole game. So, you know, he drops back to pass, attempts 46 passes. When you do that, yeah, you're going to give up some yards once in a while. But really the good thing is, you know, the Packers gave up, you know, that one long passing play to Andre Roberts for, what was it, 40 yards. But I think that was really the only play they let a receiver get behind them the whole game. You know, they gave up yards here and there, but the secondary, you know, they kept things in front of them, which is a good sign. It wasn't a great day. You know, Casey Hayward didn't have, you know, one of his interceptions you're almost coming to expect from the rookie or anything like that, but they're doing a good job. They kept things in front of them, and for the most part, you know, what, limited the Cardinals to 17 points on the game, only 3 scores the whole day. In fact, having the nice goal line stand, you know, wasn't on the goal line, but, you know, what, inside the 5-yard line there in the third quarter where they limited the Cardinals to a field goal. You know, good job there. Packers getting 2 sacks from defensive linemen yesterday. One each from Mike Daniels, the rookie, and then Mike Neal. And that's great to see. And what you're seeing this year is Mike Daniels, Mike Neal, and Jarrell Worthy all have two sacks this season. And when you just look at the word two alone, you know, that doesn't seem like much. Oh, two sacks, you know, that's not a whole lot. But just look at the defensive line. That's six sacks from defensive linemen this year. And, you know, that's nine games into the season. The Packers hardly got that production the entire year last year from their defensive line. So, you know, finally, pass rush is coming from people other than Clay Matthews. And, you know, there's a little bit of concern that, you know, the Cardinals started to mount their comeback yesterday once Clay Matthews exited the game with his hamstring injury. And, you know, cross your fingers, it's nothing too serious. And maybe he just needs a little break for the bye week here as well. And maybe he'll play well after that. But, the Packers, you know, what both the sacks, Daniels and Neal, coming on stunts, I believe, with Clay Matthews, where he's rushing from the inside, the defensive lineman looping to the outside, but it's a lot of the attention that was placed on Clay Matthews that helped open things up for Daniels and Neal. So it's, you know, his impact on the defense was felt yesterday, you know, certainly once he left the game, and it is a concern. But you know, Eric Walden, though, the guy playing opposite Clay Matthews, having probably the best year of his career, I would say. Wouldn't you agree with that? Eric Walden having the best year of his career? I would certainly say that. Has the interception yesterday, and I mean, that was more a product of luck than anything else. He's got an interception on a bad pass, but had a tackle for a loss. And I think three times he laid out John Skelton, just really got put a good hit on him. You know, they came a moment too late as far as a sack would go. But I mean, when you're putting multiple hits on a quarterback, that just, you know, those things add up and you know, get him thinking about releasing the ball maybe earlier than he should, things like that. So, you know, it's a very good job by Eric Walden yesterday. Thumbs up to him. Had a fantastic game, and you know, Packers getting a victory, going to 6-3 on the season. You know, it seemed just like wasn't that long ago when it was all doom and gloom. Probably in about a month's time span, wasn't it? You know, October begins, and people were like, "Oh, it's win loss for the Packers." Now they're on a 4-game winning streak. They got double the amounts of wins as they have losses right now. Should even have more than that, of course, when you go back and look at that Seattle game, which they were robbed of a victory from. But, good news for the Packers. Things are looking up here. And it's past 9 o'clock, and that's going to do it here for this morning, folks. So smile as you go about your Monday and the Packers getting a victory to make things you know, look rosy basically for the next 2 weeks as they have the bye now. So we'll be back on Wednesday again. We'll be talking as usual with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. And we'll be looking to him to bring us some insight into the statistical analysis of the Packers' victory over the Cardinals and where they're at. So thanks a lot for joining us here this morning, folks, on Railbird Central. I'm Brian Caravu. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. On behalf of Jamie George, on behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.